today on Real Radio.
Jewish Messiah to a Jewish nation, to a Jewish capital, to a Jewish plot of land. Jesus says, you Jews will not see me again. I'm leaving. You won't see me again till. That means there's an expiration date on him being away.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah, and by arriving we mean a succession of events and fulfillments of Bible prophecy, including the physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. As we end Isaiah chapter 63, we learn that we're living in the age of God's grace on the earth, but God's only going to hold back his anger for so long before Christ followers will meet the Lord in the air in the end times event called the rapture. Now, this in turn will lead to a 7-year tribulation period of great destruction and violence. Jesus will then return physically to the earth to bring an end to the reign of the Antichrist and establish his own form of government. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 64, Pastor Jack tells us that in the first coming of Christ on the earth, the nation of Israel rejected him. But in his second coming, the faithful in Israel will believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But only those nations who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who have come against Israel will be cursed. And now continuing his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. This is the cry of a future fulfillment of the Jewish people. That the mountains might shake at your presence. So there's a day coming when Israel will turn toward God again and cry out to him. And in this prophecy, they're prophesying, or they're praying, I should say, shake the mountains again. Do that. Shake that. Verse 2, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. You ought to circle that because we don't often think about it, but God's adversaries are the nations. You ever think about that when you read the Old Testament? That when you read the Old Testament, notice it's the godless nations that are God's adversaries. That the nations may tremble at your presence. He's coming back in the second coming, and it is going to be awesome, and the nations will tremble according to the Bible. What I think it's interesting to me is to realize is that God, who is incredibly loving and forgiving and tender and merciful and wants you to know him personally, is the same one without any character change, without any personality change. He's the one that, in the other view, on the other side from his presence, is the fiery wrath of Almighty God. And yet God is perfectly loving. We cannot reconcile that as humans. It's beyond us. It's remarkable. But the second coming is all about that. Not the rapture. The rapture is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Only the believers will see the Lord in the rapture, not the world. Amen. The second coming, everybody sees him. The Bible says the second coming is the great and terrible day of our God. The rapture is the blessed hope. One is epic in full scope and enveloping the world. And the other one is to those who are watching and waiting. Remarkable. One is an actual physical return. The other one is an atmospheric appearance where he receives his people back up into his throne, up into his place. John chapter 14. But look at verse 3, Isaiah 64. He says, when you did awesome things, they say, the prophet is saying, and he's speaking on behalf of the nation. So they're saying, "Let, you know, do this again, God, please. When you did awesome things for which we did not look. You did things that blew our minds." Now, what's amazing about this verse, Isaiah 64:3, as I told you before, many of the Jewish people today that have not had the veil lifted yet, they're Jews, but they don't believe in God. Strangest thing. I've told you this before. So how can this be? They celebrate Shabbat, but then they argue against the existence of God. It's unbelievable. It's so weird. And yet even that's prophetic. But when that veil is lifted, and during this period of time in Isaiah 64, when God is waking them up again, and he's going to use that tribulation period, they're announcing what they remembered. Oh, yeah, we grew up. We could have sworn we heard something about you parting the Red Sea. Yeah, that was me. Do that again. Oh, yeah, we grew up and in school, in Jewish classes, being taught that you came down and you shook the earth and you rescued your people and you defended Moses and you led Joshua. Yeah, we remember that. Yeah, we turn our eyes back to you, God. Watch this. They say that he did awesome things. And he's going to do awesome things. He's going to shake. Yeah, it's true. He's going to shake things again. When God sets his eyes on the nation of Israel, right now, look, let's be honest. Yes, God's moving. Yes, God is assembling that nation. There's no doubt about it. But he's putting it together before he goes to work on it. He's putting it together, okay, before he goes to work on it. He's assembling it. According to Isaiah, he's saying, as it were, to a desert of dry bones, come together. Can you imagine? In God's mind, he sees this nation that you and I are watching, known around the world now, Israel, as the startup nation. And their radical economy, their radical technology, their radical defense, their radical ingenuity, the superpower of the region, Israel. And God is watching all this and he's in it all, but they're not alive to him yet. They're just like Ezekiel talks about. Read it later. It'll blow your mind. Start reading Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, that the bones come together that have been dried and dusty. And he says, that's the whole house of Israel. Speak to the bones, Ezekiel. Shout to them. And Ezekiel shouts the word of the Lord to the bones. And Ezekiel in the prophecy saw the bones coming together. Can you imagine the feet bones coming together and the ankle bones and the femur and the pelvis, the hips, the ribs, the spine, and then the skull. Can you imagine the skull bones just rolling up the body and coming onto the head? And it's standing there. And Ezekiel said, then the next thing I saw is that tendons and ligaments began to form the bones together, and then I saw muscle, and then I saw skin, and then it was there, but it was still dead, and then God breathed into it, and Israel, it says right there, became alive again, and he brought them into their own land. You're living history right now. You're living prophecy as Israel is on the map again. God is going to do something. In fact, let's dive into this a little. Can I be a little sarcastic with you to get you to think tonight? Check this out. Listen to what Jesus said, and then you ask yourself, if not, listen. With what Jesus said, if this doesn't happen, then what do we do with our New Testament Bible? Are you ready? That's going to challenge you. I'm going to read something to you. You're going to see it on the screens. If tonight the existence of Israel bothers you, then pay attention, because listen to what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. By the way, this portion, he says it during his first coming. His first coming. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, or see, your house. Everybody know what your house means? Jesus is riding down the Palm Sunday trail on the Mount of Olives. He looks left, and there's the Temple Mount, and there's the temple. They're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, but they don't believe in him. They want a political Messiah. Is that the way that we are? We want a political Messiah. No, we don't. We already have our Messiah. And so he's looking while everyone's shouting, and he begins to weep in the midst of the crowd. And he says, I wanted to gather you together like a chicken brings her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So behold, your house is left you desolate. For I say to you, listen, Jesus said this, you shall see me no more. What's the next word? Say it aloud. Say it. Till. You ought to circle that in your Bible. This is absolutely epic game changer. Jesus Christ said, your temple's going to be destroyed because you didn't recognize the day of my coming. You will not see me again. One word saves the day. Till. Did you hear that word? That changes everything. You're not going to see me anymore. Can you imagine somebody walks up? Can you imagine your husband comes up to you? He's going to kiss you goodbye in the morning. You will not see me again. Till tonight. You will not see me. He says till. Bible students, mark it down. Don't miss a word of the Bible. When he makes this announcement, it's known theologically as his first coming. Remember, I told you last time we were together, it's not the baby being born in Bethlehem. That's not his first coming. You'll fail your theological course if you say that. His first coming is when he comes on Palm Sunday. That's his first coming. When he comes to Jerusalem as king, it's his first coming. By the way, read the fine print. His second coming is when he comes to Jerusalem as king. His first coming and his second coming is all about Jerusalem, all about Israel, and about him coming back as king. Rapture has nothing to do with that. Both events, first coming, second coming, are Jewish. Jewish Messiah to a Jewish nation, to a Jewish capital, to a Jewish plot of land. Are you with me? Yes. See, I don't like this. I don't like what you're saying. It's too bad. Seriously, it's too bad. God's word never fails. Jesus says, you Jews will not see me again. I'm leaving. You won't see me again till. That means there's an expiration date on him being away. Okay, follow with me now. Now we go to the second coming. Until what? You say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His first coming, they rejected him. Israel did. His second coming, they will receive him. Matthew 23:38, he says there, behold, your house is left you desolate. That's been true for 2,000 years. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mark this down. Hosea 5:14. Hosea 5:14-15. The prophet Hosea. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim. This is not good. God is saying, I'm going to be like a lion to the tribe of Ephraim and like a lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. Notice what he's saying in the prophet. I am going to come and rip you guys some truth here. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place. What's the word? Till they acknowledge their offense, sins. Listen. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. You can write down troubles or tribulation. This is a prophetic reference to the great tribulation, those 7 years that are appointed to the nation of Israel. You're not going to see me again until that 7-year period of time is executed and comes to an end. Watch this. They will earnestly seek me. When? In that time of their affliction. So don't miss this. Jeremiah 30:4-7. Jeremiah 30:4-7. This is all about Israel in the last days and his second coming. You say, Jack, why do we even care about this? We're the church. Because I told you before, you need to know this so you can answer people regarding who the Messiah is. You need to know the difference between the body of believers of Israel and the church. They're different. Replacement theology is a doctrine from hell. It's all over the world. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hopefully you don't even know what I'm talking about. But listen, there are knuckleheads out there saying, no, no, you know what? Israel rejected God. They lost all the promises. When, watch this, whenever you see the word Israel or Jew now, listen, it's the church that's, forget, the Jews are gone. It's history. It's over. Forget it. Wherever you see anything about the Jews or Israel, it's the church. It's the church now. That's where the concept came from of the church going through the tribulation period, is because people made Israel the church. Or the church to be Israel. They messed it up. And there's confusion today. No, friend, the Bible's very clear. They're completely different. Completely. The house of Israel, God will save. The remnant of the Jews, he's promised to save them. The church, predominantly Gentile. It's completely different. Completely different. So, he says there, where were we? Jeremiah 30, verse 4. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands over his loins like a woman in labor? These guys are hurting. And all faces turned pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, for it is the time of Jacob's, what's the word? Trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. The tribulation period to come. It's at this 3.5 year midpoint of the tribulation period that sets off, church, the middle of the 7 years, sets off the second half of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, the world is deceived by prosperity and by peace, by politics, frankly. And then the latter half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, is where you have all the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, all the stuff that you see in Revelation chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19. Wow. Chapter 6 of Revelation to chapter 19 covers only 3.5 years, 1,260 days. You ever think of that? It's so detailed. Now, build these verses one upon another. Do you guys care about this?
Yes.
Okay, build these verses one upon another. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is going to speak to it. It sounds like Jesus and Jeremiah are having coffee together. Watch this. Then they will deliver you. Watch now. Up to tribulation, so you should be asking the question, who are these people? Well, I got news for you, they're not you. Then they will deliver you. Up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Don't think this is referring to the church. Be very careful. Watch this. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Watch. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This has nothing to do with the church. Watch. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. I've had Christians tell me, the end of the world, the church can't leave yet. The gospel's not gone all around the world yet. Number one, how do they know that? Okay. And what you ask them, wait, you don't think the Lord can come back tonight because you're saying the gospel hasn't been preached around the world? Oh, yeah, so the Bible says. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't say that. Not to the church, not to us. You need to read everything in the context of where it is. Not pick and choose. Let's keep going. This is very important. Therefore, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation, that is the desolation of the temple, spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, Then let those who are in Judea. Do you live in Judea?
No.
Read the Bible carefully. He gives you this big list of what's coming. And then he says, and he qualifies it, when you see the temple in Jerusalem desecrated, you who live in Judea, what's he say? Flee to the mountains. Then let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Do you live on your roof?
No,
the Jews do. They don't have roofs like us. They have flat roofs. And they live on top of, when they're done cooking, when they're done doing whatever they do, they go up on top of the roof and they sit in chairs and they watch the sunset and the stars come out. It's why they build homes there in Judea in the 21st century still. It's amazing. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. In other words, urgency, right? Verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant. Why? And to those who are nursing babies, how come in those days? What's the big deal with that? Well, if you have to flee, it's kind of hard to run pregnant, I guess. And I think it must be tough to nurse a baby and run at the same time. Listen how specific this is. And pray that your escape or flight may not be in winter. That's interesting. Because it snows in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is in Judea. Or on the Sabbath day. How many Gentiles do you know are worried about walking on the Sabbath day? On their housetop, who live in Judea, are you with me with a temple down the street? Because the temple is going to be rebuilt, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking about in Israel now. Are you kidding me?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today, and you know, the last days, they are upon us, and our prayer is that you've come to faith in Jesus before it's too late. Won't you come to Jesus today? Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.